I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Church, I want to talk to you on that topic today, that just a little talk with Jesus. You know, you've got a woman here who is, if you're prepared to accept it, it's you. You're the woman, you're the man that goes to that well. Jesus meets you there. And, you know, this woman has been going to this well all her life. Just one more drink, and I'll be all right. Just one more time. Just one more time, and this time the world can get it right. You see, the well is the world. And you know how we think, right? Just a little bit of a bigger house, then I'll be happy. If I just have a little more money in the paycheck, then that'll get me through and I'll be happy. If I just have a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend, then that'll be all right. That'll make me happy. I know what I need to do. I need to upgrade to the new iMac, or no, the new iPad 2. You got to have the number 2 there, the iPad 2. You know, I had to go buy a computer this week, and my computer crashed, my laptop, and I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and everyone says, try out the Mac, you know, because there's so many operating system problems. So I said, all right, I'll take the plunge. So anyway, I was really taken aback as I drew close to the Apple store. There was a line outside that store. And I just about turned around and walked away, but the person who helped me to go and get it said, no, let's just find out what it's about. It might not be for the computer. So sure enough, it wasn't. It was for this iPad thing. And I've seen one, and I think I understand. But anyway, these people had been in line since 4 in the morning. I said, 4 in the morning, church, to buy this little thing that lights up. If I just go back to the well of the world one more time, then I'll be happy, see? And I'm sure they're already frustrated with the thing. You know, well, it doesn't do exactly this. And why did it do it that way, not this way? And the user manual says this, but it really does that. Well, you see how it goes. Amen? Listen, this woman keeps coming to this well day after day. Now, the well, let's just say, is Best Buy or something like that, all right? Well, you just walked into Best Buy to go back to the well of the world just one more time. And whatever you're going to buy there is really going to close the deal. You'll finally be happy when you get it. Amen? Guess who the sales manager is who comes up and greets you? His name is Jesus. And he wants to have a little discussion with you about desire. You know, everyone who drinks from this well will be thirsty again, he's about to say to you. Why don't you try something else? You see, church, the world is the gift that keeps on taking. Amen. I thought I got a few of you. See, the world says, I'll give you just about 20 minutes of pleasure. All I require is everything from you. It's the gift that keeps on taking. It takes your time. It takes your money. It takes your loyalty. It takes your peace. It takes your, well, it takes and it takes and it takes. And you get a little thing from the world, and the happiness that it gives you lasts about 20 minutes. And it's like the crack dealer, see? You got to keep going back for the next fix. Amen? There is a woman, there's you and me, who keeps going back to this well. And in the end, she's thirsty again. The well can't close the deal. The well can't really get her through. And that's what Jesus wants to talk to us about today. He wants us to understand something. He says, look, think about your desire for a minute. It's infinite, isn't it? It's infinite. When was the last time you really were satisfied? Maybe it lasted 20 minutes, right? Our desires are really infinite. And every now and then someone will say, well, you know, you should learn to be satisfied. No, you should not. I'll tell you why. Because you weren't made for this world. You were made for God. And don't you ever be satisfied with anything less than God. But you see, I'm going to just try to prove to you that God exists. I say prove in quotes. But listen, if your desire is infinite, where did that infinite desire come from? Where did that unlimited desire, how can a finite and limited world give you an infinite and unlimited desire? It can't give what it doesn't have. That desire in you could not come from this world or your biology. That infinite desire in you came from God, who alone is infinite, who alone can give something which is infinite. Your desire is infinite, and it's from God, and it's in your heart because God wrote His name in your heart. And the Lord is trying to talk to this woman and to us at this well. She keeps coming back to this well. Just one more thing. And they know how to the world knows how to manipulate us. Look out, man. You just opened up the box of the iPad 2, and gosh darn it, iPad 3 just came out. Back to the well one more time. Are you praying with me? So Jesus has a little discussion, and this woman needs to have just a little talk with Jesus. Now listen, there's a whole long discussion that they have here. And I don't want to get too lost in the details, but I think we need to look a little bit at some of the discussion. See, it goes through some stages. And the stages of the discussion are our stages. Because it's not the woman at the well that we're just talking about, it's you, it's me. And I want you to notice some of the stages that this woman goes through so that a little light from heaven can start filling her heart and she can finally leave her water jar behind and go tell somebody about Jesus. How does she get from having to keep coming back to this world to being able to leave her water jar and run and tell somebody with joy about Jesus? What gets her there? What are the stages in this little talk with Jesus? Because again, her journey is our journey. So let's look. The first thing I want you to notice is there's a rendezvous. Jesus doesn't say, all y'all down there, come up to some high, tall mountain. Jesus meets us where we are. Thank the Lord He brought us here today, but Jesus is also willing to meet you at Best Buy. He's willing to meet you out there at work. He meets us where we are. And so there's this woman who's come to the well of the world one more time, and Jesus is there. But you notice again, it is He who takes the initiative. Amen? It was not you who chose me. It was I who chose you. So again, this rendezvous is no chance happening or no chance meeting. It is planned by Jesus. The Lord takes the initiative, and He sends His disciples off somewhere else because He knows this woman's going to be coming, and He has something to say to her. Now, I want you to notice that this discussion goes, the first part of the discussion goes with kind of a back and forth between Jesus and the woman. He makes a request, and she gives him a rebuke. He repeats the request and ups the ante, and she ridicules him. And then the Lord finally re-ups the offer one more time, and she's finally ready to say, yes, Lord. But you notice, aren't you glad, just as we look at those first stages, aren't you glad that the Lord stays in the conversation? That He didn't just take your no or my no initially and say, well, that's it, to heck with you. The Lord stays in the conversation. This woman gives Him a hard time. You know, if Jesus had some kind of an ego, it would have been pretty bruised by this woman, amen? But thank the Lord. He's willing to work with this woman in her stages as she goes through them. Now, again, notice the first thing that we see is that there's a rendezvous. Jesus, if you will, sets up a meeting. How many of you know that Jesus has met you in many, many and varied places, amen? And And the Lord has some things to say to us. The Lord wants to meet us. And now the Lord then makes a request. Give me a drink. Give me a drink. Isn't that astonishing that God would ask you for anything? Doesn't God have everything? Listen, there's one thing he doesn't have, and that's your heart until you give it to him. The Lord has put a hedge around your heart, and he won't walk into the garden of your heart without your permission. What gift can you give God? It is simply this, the gift of your very own self. And God desires that gift. Now, listen, I have to, as your pastor, read lots of heavy-duty theology every now and then. Amen? And I just want you to know something, that there are some theologians who are a little concerned with someone saying that God has desire. Well, I don't know exactly how God desires, how God experiences desire. How can God, who has such beatitude, such happiness, have desires? I don't know how he experiences it, but when I open up my Bible, I find a very passionate God described. A God who loves us and gets mad sometimes because he does love us. Sometimes he gets jealous. Sometimes he's just amorous, saying, I'm going to lure my bride back out into the desert to be alone with my bride. A God is a God who loves us. A God who, as he says in Hosea, is brokenhearted. His heart is moved within him. When Israel rejects him, Jesus says, my father, in the parable of the prodigal son, the father was deeply moved when he saw his son coming to meet him again, and he ran out to kiss him and greeted him. And his second son was frowning and angry, and he came out and pleaded with his son, please come into the banquet. All I know is, God wants us in the banquet. God wants our hearts. God wants us to give the gift. All I know is Jesus says to this woman, I'm so thirsty. Would you give me a drink? The Lord desires union, desires, if you will, that relationship of love with this woman. Church, are you praying with me? God loves you and desires you, and you have a gift that you can give God that is precious to him, the gift of your very own self. Don't miss this request. Now, you know what sometimes happens? When someone asks to enter into a deeper relationship, we get anxious sometimes. We draw back. And that's what this woman does. Jesus says, would you please give me a drink? She rebukes him. How can you, a Jew and a man, ask me, a woman and a Samaritan, for a drink? Jesus is breaking any number of conventions here. Jews never spoke to Samaritans. Samaritans did not speak to Jews, except there might be a little business to be done, you know. You see the vision. A lot of anger there. And likewise, men were not to speak to women in public. It was not something that culture tolerated. So she's doubly shocked. A man speaking to her, a woman, and a Jew speaking to her, a Samaritan. She's angry. She returns this rebuke. Don't speak to me. Now you see, she rebukes Jesus, and Jesus doesn't say, okay, well, the heck with you. We're going to say, thank you, Lord. He stays in the conversation. But listen, pay attention. Some of us have been angry with God. Anyone ever been angry with God? First of all, just say, thank you, Lord. You didn't write me off. I'm still alive. I haven't been struck dead. And I somehow made it to your house today. You saw me through it. But listen, you have friends and family and loved ones. Some of them are angry at God. But is it always necessarily God that they're really angry at? You notice this woman was angry at Jesus. Not, she wasn't really angry at Jesus. She was angry at the Jews because Samaritans hated Jews and Jews hated Samaritans. You see, sometimes our relatives and friends, it isn't so much God that they're angry at. It's Christians. Or it's the church. Maybe it's the church hurt them, or some Christian misled them or hurt them. And you see, there's also this attitude out there today. You remember that being anti-Christian is one of the final bigotries that's permitted in our culture. You know, it's okay to ridicule Christians and laugh at them and poke fun and take a crucifix, submerge it in urine and put it on display in the art museum, call it art, and make the federal government fund it. And that's okay. So there isn't just, it isn't always that we Christians have done something wrong, but there's a lot of hateful talk about us out there. And some people buy into that. But there's a lot of reasons that anyone can be angry at God, and it may not actually be God that they're angry at. It might be the church. It might be Christians in general. Sometimes it is God. But I just want you to see that, try to stay in the conversation and sort it out with people. It isn't always God that they're rejecting. Sometimes it's a false image of God. Again, sometimes it's the church. Sometimes it's just Christians. Sometimes it's just religion in general. Okay. So you see, she rebukes him. He makes this request, "Give me a drink." He seeks to enter into a deeper relationship with her, and she rebukes him. Ah, but Jesus repeats the request. He says, "If only you knew." Church, if only you knew who was asking you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Living water. In other words, you know, I don't know if you've ever had to drink well water. It's not very tasty. It's kind of flat. Sometimes it even smells sulfury. But living water has oxygen in it. It's more tasty. It's stirred up. So the Lord is trying to now up the ante a little bit with her. He's saying, "Listen, let me spice up the deal. Let me sweeten the deal a little. If only you knew what I could give you. If only you'd just take a moment and listen and let me walk with you a few moments." He doesn't walk away from this woman. He ups the ante a little. He says, "Just take a little walk with me. Have a little talk with me." He stays in the dialogue. And then she not only rebukes him, but she ridicules him. She says, "You don't even have a bucket. And this cistern, this well is deep. You fool. Talking about giving me water. I'm the one that's got the bucket. You don't even have a bucket." Listen, we live in a world that often ridicules God and the things of God, that ridicules faith, that laughs at us, that calls us foolish. You know, there are just some people who just think if you can't measure something on a scale or put it in a test tube and come out with tangible results, that it ain't real. Well, listen, they may call us fools, but time will prove where wisdom lies. Don't worry that people ridicule you. And Jesus doesn't worry that this woman is ridiculing him. He just stays in the conversation. Don't take it personally. Just stay in the conversation. What a vision. Now, Jesus then finally says to her, "Look, everyone who drinks from this well is going to be thirsty again. I'm talking about giving you something greater. I'm talking about giving you the Holy Spirit. The water that Jesus wants to have well up in us is the very life of God. The well, if you will, that Jesus wants us to have within us is the Holy Spirit." He said elsewhere in John chapter 9, he said, "If anyone will come to me, if he's thirsty, I will give him drink." The text then says the water he was referring to was the Holy Spirit that he would give to all who believe. How many of you know of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? I want to just testify for a moment that as I've made this journey with Jesus, I've been like this woman. The Lord's invited me to a deeper relationship, and I laughed. When I was a teenager, I was agnostic, and I thought, that's crazy stuff, that religion. And, you know, back in the 70s, there were a lot of these television evangelists, and they were really cartoonish. A lot of them were really strange. You turn on the thing and laugh at them, and had ridicule, just like this woman, laughed at people who had faith. Now, listen, I was an agnostic, not for any thoughtful reason, but just because the existence of God was inconvenient to my moral life at the time. Are you praying with me? You don't need the details, please. But the Lord kept inviting me. My mother, when I was a teenager, she still made me go to church. You're going to church. If you're going to live under this roof, you're going to God's house. All right. And Sunday after Sunday, Jesus was saying, give me a drink. That's ridiculing, rebuking. I was annoyed at the priest. I was annoyed at all kinds of stuff. And in the end, the Lord just kept in the relationship. He kept working with me. And church, I just want you to know that I finally said yes to God, and He began a process in my life. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit's become living in my heart, and I'm more aware of all the wonderful things He's doing for me. I'm seeing sins put to death. I'm seeing grace come alive. I love God more. I'm more excited about holy things. I'm rejoicing in all the great things that God can do for me. I find that my priorities are different. More and more, I'm satisfied only with the things of God. Less and less does the world entice me. I'm not saying I'm done yet. I'm just saying, church, God can put a well within you that wells up to eternal life. You got to keep going back to the world again and again like it was some kind of a crack dealer. It's the gift that keeps on taking. It takes from you your money, your time. It takes from you your loyalties. It takes from you so many things, and it only gives you 20 minutes of pleasure. Max! But God is building a fountain within me that keeps growing and growing, and so that even when there's difficulties in life, I still have within me a joy that the world didn't give me and that the world can't take away. I'm telling you, church, these words are real. If only you knew who was asking you for water, you would have asked Him for water, and He would have given you living water. Everyone who drinks from the well of the world will be thirsty again. But I tell you, anyone who comes to me, I will place within him a fountain that will well up to eternal life. And church, eternal life doesn't just mean heaven. Eternal life means the fullness of life. And I want to testify again that I am more alive today at almost age 50 than I was ever at age 20. There's a lot more of me to be alive. I'm more well-rounded. I have more love, more compassion. I'm seeing sins put to death, joy coming alive. I would never want to be 20 again. When I was 20, you couldn't hardly see me from sideways on. Now I amount to something. Praise God. Church, God's been good to me. Now I'm testifying only so that I hope you also have a testimony to give. Now, there may still be some struggles in our life, but I just want you to know I've come a mighty long way with Jesus, and I know what He means when He says, I'm not going to have you draw from some well that'll give you 20 minutes of pleasure. I want to give you lasting joy. I want to give you stability in your life. I want to, in every way, bless you so that you begin to grow from strength to strength, from joy to joy, from indeed serenity to greater serenity. And church is happening in my life. I'm a witness. So you see, the Lord has, let's just review, the Lord has made a rendezvous with this woman. He made a request, give me water. She rebukes him. And the Lord just says, no, I'm not going away. He repeats the request and sweetens the deal. And then she ridicules him. Then he reminds her, everyone who drinks from this well will be thirsty again, and re-ups the offer. I want to put a fountain in you that'll well up to eternal life. Now finally the woman says, all right, I'm ready. All right, I'm ready. I don't want to have to keep coming back to the well of the world again and again and again. Go ahead. Give me this water. Praise God. She said yes. Now, listen. I want you to understand this next point's important because I think some people expect the Christian life to work like magic. You know, just lay hands on me, preacher. One and you're done. You know, and just boom, you know. Listen, the Christian life, I'm not saying that God can't heal somebody in one moment. But you know the way God usually works? He works in stages. So the woman says, I am ready for this water. And Jesus says, all right, but there's a requirement. What's the requirement? And he wants to talk to her for a moment about her sin, her struggle. You see, church, our souls are like a glass. And if the glass is full of the sand of this world and the sin of this world, you can't put water in it. What do you got to do first? Pour out the sand, cleanse the inside, and now God can start filling it with the water of his Spirit. Are you praying with me? So he says to this woman, listen, I want to give you this water. Go call your husband. Go call your husband. I do not have a husband. The Lord said, I was not born yesterday. The fact is, you've had five, and the one you're with now isn't even a husband. He's just a shack up. I see that you are a prophet, she said. And the Lord needs to work with her on this point. Now, I want you to notice something. She does what we all do. When something uncomfortable comes up, she changes the subject. You know, she says, well, listen, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about religion. Where should we worship? In this parish or that parish? You know, on this mountain or that mountain, you know. You know, some people love to talk about religion, but they don't want to really have faith. You see, there's a difference. Some people love to get into debates about architecture, about Latin versus English, about facing this way versus that way, about God knows what, music, whether it should be gospel or Gregorian chant. Some people just love to talk about religion. Now, some of those discussions should be had, but listen, do not think that that's faith. Faith is about being in a living, conscious contact and a transformative relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he humors her a little bit. He says, well, listen, you know, let's not worry about which mountain. I want you to know, I want you to worship in spirit and in truth. So he fields her question, but he gets her back to the topic. Listen. She tried to change the subject. Now, the next part of the discussion is private. We don't know what happened. I'll explain in a moment why I say that, but you see, there's a private conversation that the Lord needs to have with this woman about her struggle. The Lord is not just about accusing her of sin. The Lord is trying to help her to understand herself, to understand her struggle, to understand why she might be doing some of the things that she's doing. Why do some people drink too much? Why do some people use too many drugs? Often, church, they're medicating themselves. They have a grief or an anxiety or a depression that they can't manage, and they start tipping the cups. I'm not trying to explain and get everyone off the hook. I'm just trying to say people usually do what they do for a reason. And part of what the Lord wants to do for us is not just accuse us of sin. Listen, he's not accusing you. The devil is your accuser. The Lord is our healer, our Savior. He says, come and talk to me. Let's try to find out what you're really doing here. Why has she been in all these broken relationships? What's happened in her life? Maybe it goes all the way back to the day when she was a little girl and she never experienced love from her own father. So she's been desperately seeking love now in all the wrong places. And one man after another, and none of them could give her what she desperately needed, which really only God can give her. I don't know what her story was, but Jesus had a conversation, and listen to what this woman said. When she ran back to town, she says, I want you to come and meet someone who told me everything I ever did. But listen, it wasn't just that he accused her of everything she ever did. He explained and gave meaning to her life and helped her to understand everything she ever did. Do you see the difference? And whatever that conversation they had, it's not recorded here because it is none of our business. There's just that private time that the Lord needs to have with us. She was deeply moved by it. And then we come to the final stage. Let's review where we've been. There was a rendezvous set up by Jesus. There was a request that was rebuked. A re-upping of the request, followed by ridicule, followed by yet another re-upping of the request as Jesus stays in the conversation with her. Finally, there is that result that she says, "Yes, I'm ready." The Lord then says, "We need to talk about something first. I want to give you this water, but the glass is full of sand. Let's go about emptying that now. Let's work on that. Let's make room for the water that I can give you." Finally, then, comes that reconciliation and the joy that follows, the rejoicing that follows. The woman, it says, ran back to town to tell everyone about Jesus. "Come and see someone who told me everything I ever did, who explained my life to me, who knew all about me, but didn't hate me, didn't reject me, and helped me to experience living water." I want you to notice a detail. It's a minor detail that most people miss. It says before she left town, it says she left her water jar. "I will go to that well no more." She doesn't need that water jar anymore. I don't know what your water jar is. I don't know what you use to kind of collect the things of the world and store them up. But at some point in our life, the Lord wants us to get to the point where we don't need that water jar anymore, because God alone is enough. We don't have to constantly surround ourselves with all of the trappings of the world. We'll have what we need, but all the extra things that we want and want and want and want more, that's going to go away, and we'll be more simple, more focused, less enslaved to the world, which is the gift that keeps on taking. She left her water jar full of joy and ran to tell somebody about Jesus. I have it on the best of authority that as she ran back to town, she sang this song. She sang, "I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a light from heaven filled my heart. It bathed my heart in love, wrote my name above. Ah, just a little talk with Jesus made it right." Now, church, this wasn't all one day. It was, but you understand, this is more than one day for us. This is the journey that we're on. Jesus meets us at the well. And he says, "Let's talk about your desire. Let's talk about what's happening in your life. I want to give you something better than the world could ever give you. And yet you keep coming back to the well of the world. I want you to know something. I want to get you to a point in your life when you can leave that water jar behind and not worry about the well of the world and just allow me to give you a completely new life. Church, I am a witness. The Lord is doing this in my life. I don't say it's done. I don't say I never go to the well of the world. I'd be lying to you. But I know this. I don't go there so often, and I don't need it as much as I used to. And I know this. I'm not what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. I once was lost in sin. Jesus took me in. Now a light from heaven fills my heart. It bathes my heart in love, which grows day after day. I know my name is written above. Just that ongoing talk with Jesus makes me whole." Amen.